the Columbia Workshop. Tonight, we offer an original piece, Heavenly Rest, a hymn for lost Americans by Milton Wayne. This is Mr. Wayne's first radio drama. Through a series of realistic and impressionistic sequences, he has sought to pictorialize the condition and the attitude of the many thousands of young homeless Americans roaming aimlessly over our vast territories in these post-depression years. Mr. Wayne is a native of Newark, New Jersey, and a graduate of Columbia University in the class of 1933. He is at present identified with the WPA Writing Project in Newark, and is at work on a book about that city to be titled Newark at Work. Mr. Wayne is preparing the chapters on the leather interests of the region. His piece tonight is in considerable contrast to this, in both treatment and intention. We hear now Heavenly Rest, a hymn for lost Americans by Milton Wayne. Interrupt to tell you that in exactly 2.5 minutes, the sun will set over the southern states served by your station in Walford. Only a trifle more than 2 minutes, and the sun will set. The sun will set, and it will be the eve of the Sabbath. We check off our days gratefully this winter holiday season. Another day, and tomorrow, Sunday, another week of peace. There is war in the world tonight, and few of the living in many lands tonight will find sleep. And thousands have lost the way of coming home. In half a minute, the sun will set. But none here will hate the night, for in America, there is peace. Many days now, Americans have been traveling home. For these are days that should be spent together with the people of whom you are part, whose eyes answer with love the longing in your eyes, whose hands speak comfort with their touch. Only 6 seconds now. 3 seconds. 1 second. The sun has set. To you, ladies and gentlemen, in the sheltered comfort of your homes, a happy Sabbath. We now resume our program. That is all.
Americans, put down your evening papers. Keep the cards dealt for your hand, but lay them face down on the table. Put a marker in your book. The story you were telling we'll keep for later. And listen, Americans. Tonight, there is war in the world. You heard him say it, and you know what he means. You know what he means because you've read. You've seen the pictures. You've heard. And some of you were once in it. For a people in peace, we know enough about war. We know too much of the plummeting bombs, the men with guns, the tanks, the planes, and the ships. All these, the arms, and instruments of war. But we also know of the others, the people, ever the payers and the losers in war. The mother of many children made childless, the wife widowed, the betrothed unclaimed, and the young, the youth, the seed that carries in it the nation's flower, the young seed torn from the ground before root was taken, trampled and scorned, and borne by the wind, and left to perish. This too is war, and the perishing seed, the costliest item in the costliest war. There is war in the world tonight. In America, there is peace. And tonight, we know of war and what it does to a land left longing for its people, wandering, imploring the unanswering roads of six continents, lost the way of their coming home. Of war, we know too much. What do we know of peace? And how many Americans have lost the way of coming home?
The sun has set. To you, ladies and gentlemen, in the sheltered comfort of your homes, a happy Sabbath. To all of you, people of goodwill, blessed by peace, a happy, restful Sabbath. We now resume our program. That is all.
You know, we caught them just as they were stepping off the train. So we put them right back on it, and we stayed and watched that freight till it was clean out of sight. We spoke nice and quiet to them, just like you said, Sheriff, and kind of poked them with our guns.
Yeah, you're getting smart, Tom. You're getting right smart. You know, can't afford to lock up tramps this time of year. Hotel folk won't stand for it. They say all them northerners come down to spend the holidays don't like it nohow to see chain gangs. So orders is to just keep moving. Just keep moving nice and gentle like you done. And you done right, Tom. Yes, I swear you get much smart. Yeah. Well, what's on your mind, Tom? What you scratching around for? You got something on your mind?
Well, Sheriff. Call some kids, too.
Kids? What kids? What you mean, the kids?
Well, they was tramp kids, about six or seven of them. All of them was white, and they had a gal with them, too. Yeah, a black-haired gal wearing dungarees and a man's jacket, and she didn't look no more than 14 or 15.
Any grown men with them?
No, Sheriff, they was by themselves, just them together. Mm-hmm. None of them looked more than 18. And they didn't speak like our kind. No, they spoke more like up north or out west. Mm. And their eyes was all hungry-looking and jumpy, like from being chased.
They make any trouble in town?
Oh, I guess they was fixing to pick up what they could lay their hands on. But we spotted them quick and we run them out.
Where?
Well, they headed for the east road. I guess they'll be parking in that old hobo jungle out in the woods. You want us to clean them out?
No, Tom. I can't be messing with kids tonight. There's big doings in town. But first thing tomorrow, run them clean across the county line and See they don't come into town no more tonight.
Yeah, we'll do like you said, and we'll keep them moving, Sheriff. I think we really got them scared away from town.
You know, you're getting sharp, Tom. You're getting right sharp. Kids, huh? Well, doggone, won't that be nice to have tramp kids panhandling tourists around town? Ain't I got enough trouble as 'tis from our own folk, our businessmen, our leading citizens, our hotel men, without worrying me to death about tramps? I want no trouble from them kids. Kids. What call has American kids got to go wandering so far from home? And how do they expect anything good to find them? If I had my way, I'd take all those kids that came wandering down.
Shut up, you guys. Shut up. Why don't you give the Bible a chance? This ain't no auction.
It's okay by me, brother, but me belly just don't understand English.
Ah, button your lip, halitosis.
Go ahead, Deke. Preach some more.
Well, you see, this ain't real Bible preaching, but I figured if we was talking and listening, we wouldn't be all the time thinking about being hungry. And so, my dear parishioners, let us remember that on a terrible, deep, and holy night, our Lord was born. And then when he grew up, he gave away his life for the poor folk like us, who bummed the streets of Jerusalem. So he died to give these people peace and something to eat.
Lay it, Deacon, lay it.
Dick Spiel bends my ear like a hound dog's.
Dear friends, let us remember that on this Sabbath season, that this is a special holiday, different from the 4th of July or Halloween or Columbus Day. All good Christians should be thankful for their many blessings. We should share with a good heart with them as hasn't any. We must keep no grudges against nobody, and we must forgive all those who do us dirty. And throw us off the freights, give us blood in our eyes for something to eat, and always keep those red lights set dead against us. And so before I close, dear Lord, I want you should specially bless all our friends and forgive our enemies. But use your own judgment about them sorry Christians from Walford. Drive us out of town the day before your holy Sabbath. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Simey?
Yeah?
Brother Simey, please have the kindness to pass the collection plate so all these happy brothers may contribute to some little thing to them that ain't so fortunate.
You're on, brother.
While our dear Brother Simey is working up the collection, let us enjoy the sweet voice of Brother Shoemaker, who will lead us in a beautiful hymn.
Oh, where shall rest be found? Rest for the weary soul. 'Twere vain the ocean depths to sound or pierce to either pole. Beyond this veil of tears, there is a life above, unmeasured by the flight of years and all that life is lost.
You know something, Portuguese?
What?
When I was a kid, I once learned my kid sister a carol from school. So the rabbi heard her singing it, and he squealed to my old lady. And the old man beat the living daylights out of me.
Hey, Vangie.
What you want?
When do we eat?
She'll make a kid. You sure sing swell, like sweet hot gravy.
You won't eat at all, Melacrino. Us and the boys bring something back. Huh. What's in the pot won't fill the holes in your teeth.
Well, they ought to have been back by now.
Say, how'd you lose them?
He had to come back for his spats and his tang.
Shut up, wise guy. What happened?
Well, you see, nothing, Vangie. It was like this. I tooled a ring on a nice yellow house when a guy comes to the door with a shotgun. So I beat it through the backyard. When I stops running, I didn't see Chris and the boys nowhere.
That Walford now is just about the lousiest place that afflicts the face of God's own country. If you're a stranger without dough, they won't give you the dried bird's bit from off the town flagpole.
Looks like they want to keep the town respectable, that's all.
Something told me that traveling with a four-eyed kid and a couple of twins was going to be hard luck.
Go crack your light, smart guy. If not for Christmas, Frank, you'll probably be breaking your back on a chain gang this minute.
Oh, yeah? I can wipe me own nose.
Yeah. That old moon sure looks cold and lonesome tonight.
Don't you worry none, baby button. Your daddy soon be back from hunting.
M-Y-O-B, sponge nose. You ain't even got all your buttons yet.
Eh, break a foot. Talk American, why don't you?
You know, if I only had an onion and a piece of garlic, I could make a real nice mulligan.
Garlic sure tastes good, all right, all right.
Listen, the way you think, Portuguese, garlic will make you smell like a rose.
Sticks and stones will break my bones if they work you to death in the children's home.
Gee, I'm full of corn. I've been bunking on my ear for 3 nights.
Last winter, I nearly froze my feet off. You know what I wish would grow on trees, you know what? Shoes with fur lining and soles a mile thick.
Go tell it to the relief investigator.
You know something? When it's cold like this, it helps you sometime if you remember one thing.
Yeah. Say, I met a dame out in Arizona last spring.
Last spring, I was in a reform school. And I ain't never going back there no more alive. You can bet your boots on that.
I'm pretty lucky that way. I never been to no reform school.
Yeah, but I figured my old man was just as bad. 4 years I worked his farm like a dog. And he never even let me buy a pair of pants of my own.
In my family, we had a pair of pants. But everybody used to take turns wearing them. They belonged to my big brother. And they used to come up to my shoulders almost. Now when I get me something to wear, I put it on me. Nobody can't swipe it. Less than they kill me first.
Gee, all that stuff you're wearing sure gonna be some acre if one of them railroad dicks ever chases you.
You're dripping from the nose, four eyes.
Say, anybody else ever been to Shy?
Yeah, sure, I've been there.
Yeah? When was you there?
Well, let me see now. I'll tell you in a minute. Got it all written down in a book here. As soon as I get this elastic off. I got it all down here. Yeah, here it is. Last August, 6 days. Got a lift with a couple of guys that was giving out papers and books to farmers.
What kind of papers was they signing?
What do you want to know for, Greasy?
I can talk if I want. I can talk. It's a free country, ain't it?
Bourgeois.
They were small books with only a couple of pages. They were telling all about what was wrong with this country.
And there sure is something wrong.
Kid, that's a real tune you just played on your fiddle.
And them books only cost a penny. Some guys wanted to give, but they was looking for a penny themselves. So the guys I was with gave them the books for nothing.
No one can hurt you if you don't stand alone. Else they kick you round like a stone. It's like pie in the sky, hot meat on a platter. When a guy looks in your face and knows what's the matter. If they make you alone, it's something to cry. No one cares if you live. No one cares if you die. No one can hurt you if you don't.
Hey, fellas, get going.
Get that stuff together. We're heading for the woods, the deep woods.
Why?
Chris is dead.
What
are you standing for? Get going and get quick. The whole town will be down on us.
Where's Chris?
He's dead, I tell you.
You're kidding me, Gus.
No, Vancey. No, a guy don't kid when he got the smell of blood still on him.
I feel like my heart's gonna bust.
What happened, Gus? Tell us. Well, Chris and Frank and Rhode Island and me, we was just on the outside of town trying to pick up some groceries in back of a store, and Chris was laying chicky when a deputy pops up and he goes for Chris. And Chris gives us the cry, and then he beats it. We duck around and stop when we see nobody's coming for us. Then we see Chris cutting across into an alley and the deputy going after him. Then we hear a loud scream like a baby being terrible hurt. And Frank stops us and says, "That's my brother." And pretty soon we see the deputy dragging Chris out. His head is burst open and the blood jumping out all over him like it was a fountain. We had to hold Frank back while the deputy dragged Chris down the road. The blood running down the roadway. When they got Chris inside the barn, We went back in the alley and we saw a fence with a point of a big spike sticking through. Chris must have run into it in the dark. Then the deputy sent a man from the barn to get a doctor. And after a while, he ran down the street, too, and then the three of us sneaked into the barn. Then we seen Chris laying on some straw. And he was covered up with an old horse blanket, and the fires was buzzing around him. And Frank wanted to burn down the barn, but we made him hide just in time when the deputy and the farmer come back with the doc. The doc takes one look at Chris, and he says, "That's one sorry-looking swine. You know who he is?" The deputy says, "He's one of them tramp kids we drove out of town." The doc says, I reckon he belongs to the county now, so we better ship him over to the medical school."
Oh.
Well, Frank went wild, and he said he was going to take Chris out of there, that we were to help carry Chris back here. And when we said he was crazy, he said he'd do it alone. So we waited until it got good and dark, and then we bust open the door, and Frank and Rhode Island carried Chris, and they told me to go on ahead. I told them they was crazy to try, because somebody was sure to see him. And Frank said he'd kill anybody from town who tried to put a finger on Chris. Well, we got into town, all right, and just when we got out of town, we met a couple of kids, and when they see us, they cut and run. So then I went ahead to tell you.
Sure gonna be trouble.
Give me the lantern. I'm going back and give them some light.
Maybe they got him by now.
I'm going back to bring them some light.
Wait a minute, Gus. You hear that?
Trouble's sure gonna bust wide open now.
You better wait here till we get back.
Supposing they get you.
Well, it'll be tough on us. But you can't get far without the lantern.
All of us is heading for the last roundup.
Button your lip.
Gee, it's cold as a witch's heart.
Frank must be sure wacky. He's got a lot of guts, I'll say.
I'd do the same thing if it was my twin brother. Them guys was never separate for a minute.
I known all along there was something going to happen. This morning I had a tough wrestle getting my shoes on. And when it's over, I seize my right shoe on my left foot.
Geez, Guy, you ought to be more careful.
I hope they hurry up so as we can get out of here.
What'll they do with him when they get him here?
Guess Frank wants to bury him.
Well, why didn't he let the deputy have him? They'd have buried him after the hospital got through with him.
Sure wouldn't like for him to cut up any of my folks. Or even to bury him in Potter's Field. They put about 4 inches of dirt on your face. And then the dogs come around at night. When a man dies, they ought to take their time and make him a nice deep grave.
Yeah. Only the rich folks that has all the comforts, even when they croak. Guy was once telling me that in some places, when the graveyards get all full, they dig them up and throw them around so they can make more room. Me, I'd rather get drowned in the ocean.
My mother used to say when somebody dies, they know what's going on for about 6 hours. Only they can't move or say nothing.
Eh, go on. That's baloney for kids.
There's a man going round taking names. There's a man going round taking names. He took my brother's name and he left my heart in pain. There's a man going round taking names. There's a man going round taking names. There's a man going round taking names. He took my brother's name and he left my heart in pain. There's a
oh,
man...
Oh, Mary, Mother of God, stop that song!
Look, they brought him back.
I feel like a black fire is burning me all up inside.
Frank. Frank.
Yeah.
What you gonna do with him now?
Bury him. And we'll clear out of this town.
No. I ain't gonna bury him.
You mean you don't want to bury him now?
We got no time. Got nothing to dig with. They'll only dig him up and give him to the school.
Well, we can't take him with us. See, what about the swamp? They won't touch him in the swamp.
I'm gonna burn Chris.
No, Frank. No, you can't do that. It ain't right.
Give me a hand, Dig. Bring those boxes. The rest of you get wood.
Okay, Frank. Oh, Chris.
What you doing there, Vangie? Don't look at it.
Frank.
Yeah?
My feet is almost froze off sometimes. Can I have his shoes?
Yeah. Take him. All right, you guys. Pile that wood over there. Put him here, too. Okay. Take your stuff. Get going.
Oh.
Better go now, Vanjie.
Tonight, we know of war and what it does to a land and its people. Of war, we know too much. What do we know of peace? And how many Americans have lost the way of coming home? Columbia Workshop has presented Heavenly Rest, a hymn for lost Americans, an original piece by Milton Wayne, his first radio play. The cast included Dean Carlton, John Griggs, Al Swenson, James McCallion, James Donnelly, Charles Powers, Lester Jay, Sidney Lumet, John James, Nat Lewis, Eddie Ryan, Donald Hughes, and Vivian Block. The orchestra was directed by Howard Barlow. And the entire production was under the direction of Earl McGill. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will offer an original treatment of one of America's most amazing characters, Timothy Dexter. The title of this play is Coals to Newcastle. Its writer, Charles Monroe, another newcomer to the Columbia Workshop. You can get a copy of Columbia Workshop plays edited by Douglas Coulter at your local bookstore. This anthology contains 14 outstanding productions selected from the workshop series over the past 3 years. Before signing off the Columbia Workshop, may we remind our friends and listeners that the March of Dimes campaign, originated to stamp out infantile paralysis in America, comes to a close the end of this month. Send your dimes directly to the White House, Washington, D.C., or mail them to your own local campaign headquarters. Columbia Broadcasting System.